Game time decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We've got an interesting Monday nighter tonight. Steve Merrill, Pro Sports Info, one of the covers experts, will join us. The New York Giants host the Cincinnati Bengals. The game is a pick'em. We've got a couple of interesting NBA games tonight. Full slate of college basketball. We break it all down with Steve Merrill. The Final Four is set as far as the chase for the Cup is concerned. NASCAR style, they head to Homestead, locked in with the Final Four. Meanwhile, college football's Final Four, well, there was chaos on Saturday night, but was there really chaos on Saturday night? What really changed? We'll break that down with Joseph Lisi. Go for the two.coms. Joe Lisi will join us. And we're also going to be joined, we got Steve Merrill, we got Joe Lisi, and we also happen to have one of the greatest college players ever to play. We also happen to have one of the greatest professional players ever to play. If we went through this man's resume, we'd run through the entire show. But Paul Hornung will join us on today's show. We're kicking it real old school, man. You know, this guy, won it, Super Bowls? He was in the first Super Bowl. Super Bowl I. Four-time champion, Vince Lombardi. Paul was there before Vince Lombardi was there in Green Bay. We'll talk some Packer football, maybe a little Notre Dame football. And truth be told, we'll talk about whatever the hell Paul Hornung wants to talk about. All right, so Paul Hornung is going to join us on the show. Ton of stuff to get to, but it's that time of the week right now. Who ruined your Sunday? Who ruined my Sunday? Everybody. That's who. Everybody ruined my Sunday. It was a freaking train wreck, man. I should have just played like Sunday Bloody Sunday all day long, that U2 song. But you know what? That would have just made me even angrier after what happened yesterday. A freaking debacle, guys. A debacle. And I really do hate myself. My self-esteem is lower than Lindsay Lohan's. Like, I got real problems right now, man. I pick winners and I still can't make money. Like, I'm one of these dudes that, like, yeah, I'm 5-3 and somehow I'm down $1,200. It's like, why did I do that? Oh, yeah, that's right. I put $300 on the halftime over. I do a lot of reckless, stupid things. And this weekend, well, we could go on. You know, this might be a longer one, except we got a lot of guests on the show today. So let's get down to business as far as who ruined my Sunday. Like I said, everybody ruined my Sunday. You know how, like, we all have a list? There's always a couple of teams in each league, like the San Diego Padres. I hate betting on San Diego games. I never win for one reason or another. I used to be that way with the Miami Dolphins. Yet now the list is pretty much every team in every league right now. I just hate everybody, and I don't even know where to start. Oh, fire alarm. There's a fire in the building, but we're not going anywhere. We never retreat. So let's start off. I don't even know where to start. I guess it all start off early Sunday morning, late Saturday night. As the UFC 205 was going on at Madison Square Garden. Very entertaining card. A lot of great fights. A lot of ultra-violence on the card. And a couple underdogs that won on the card as well. One of the underdogs who I thought won, and, you know, I guess I'm old-fashioned, and I believe when they give the guy the belt and they raise his hand and they tell him that he won the fight, that he's the champion. And, you know, I was getting my ass kicked on Saturday with somebody's college games. I got Tyron Woodley at plus 170. I'm awarded a win. I actually got up. Yeah. Would you shut up? I got up. I was like, yeah, yeah. Only Bruce Buffer. Oh, wait. There's a mistake. Yeah, there's a mistake. The only mistake you made was Bruce Buffer was screwing me over. You ruined my Saturday night / Sunday morning, which it rolls right in to the National Football League. Let's start off with the piece of crap, sad sack, bozo, the clown-led Green Bay Packers. You guys are an embarrassment to the logo. You're an embarrassment to the brand name that is the Green Bay Packers. You're an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin right now. Like, say, oh, yeah, we're ready. We're ready for this game. Yeah, you're ready for this game. You got onside kicked. DeMarco Murray's thrown for touchdown passes. Like, how many touchdown passes did Marcus Mariota throw? I don't know. He threw more touchdown passes than Oprah Winfrey gave away freaking cars. Oh, yeah, you're real prepared. Real prepared. That defense, soft as freaking Wisconsin cheese. And then McCarthy. McCarthy's an idiot, man. The guy cost them the NFC Conference Championship game a couple of years ago in Seattle. They had to lead, and only this dumbass would be able to blow it. Yeah, he picks on Eddie Lacy because Eddie Lacy likes a whopper every now and then. You know, at McCarthy, he's like, everyone talks about like Trent Dilfer being the worst quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl. It's like McCarthy, the worst coach ever to win a Super Bowl. Like, seriously. Like, if Aaron Rodgers wasn't his quarterback, what would, like, McCarthy be? You know, I was going to say he'd be Mike Mularkey, but he got his ass handed to him by Mike Mularkey. And as bad as the Packers' defense was, you notice there's no hate for Aaron Rodgers, man. Aaron Rodgers is doing everything he possibly can. But when he's got a dumbass coach, when they cut the lead to 12 coming out of the gate out of halftime, you don't go for an onside kick with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Oh, yeah, you know what? Our defense is playing so great. Let's just give Mariota the ball at midfield. You know, face mask later, personal foul later, touchdown later. You know, the team was deflated because of another porous decision by you, Mike McCarthy. You suck. You're terrible. And you ruined my freaking Sunday, man. Like I said, you all ruined my Sunday. I hate you all. Like, I don't even know where do we go from here. Oh, yeah, Carolina. Yeah, thanks, Cam Newton. Thanks, dude. Put another towel over your head and go screw yourself, all right? Why don't you go lock yourself in a sauna or something like that and get the hell out of my life? Like a twisted ex-girlfriend that you just can't cut the cord. I can't cut the cord with Cam Newton. He was too good to me. Going back to the Auburn days. Won so much money riding Cam. And then all the way through last year in that Super Bowl run. I'm getting it all back and more. You guys blow a 17-0 lead. It's 17-6. Cam Newton's been hit so many times, he didn't want to be hit, so he decides to just throw a pop fly to the Kansas City Chiefs, who return for a damn touchdown, come back and win a damn game. Not only have you ruined my Sunday, you've ruined the entire year, man. You ruined everything. You know, from the Super Bowl, I lost like $7,000 cash, thousands of dollars online. I missed my freaking plane after the Super Bowl because I was fighting with Bronco fans at Hooters in Vegas. All because of you. Because of you. And oh, here I am, once again, another Sunday ruined by the Carolina Panthers. You guys can, I was going to say they can rot in hell, but that's a little harsh. It's a little harsh. I'll see you in hell from heaven. All right, just, I'm done. They're on the list. They're on the list of another team that I can't bet on. You know, no, seriously, you ruined my 2016. No, you ruined the February. And I lost so much freaking money, it took months to get over that. Here you are again. Screw me over again. It was 17-0, man. I told you guys, the Panthers are going to win a bunch of games. They're going to go on a run. I was looking pretty smart when it was 17-0. You stupid jackasses. All right. Like I said, I'm going to have a heart attack here. So, I bet the over in the Falcons-Eagles game, that went well. You guys break a record for, like, longest drives and most field goals kicked at the end of it. That was real fun. Screw you. And, we'll wrap it up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thanks, Pittsburgh. I jump in on Pittsburgh. You know, I took the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I didn't know. You know that, like, show, Wife Swap? You know, where, like, the celebrities swap wives? I tuned into that show. I was expecting, like, some hardcore porn. Didn't get it. You know, it's a false advertising. But you guys should have, like, coaching swap. We should really do this. Hey, you know, I'm tired of Rex Ryan. Can we trade with you? Can we get Mike Mularkey for a weekend? You guys get Rex Ryan for a weekend? Do the Pittsburgh Steelers do this? Do they do this with the Oregon Ducks? Was Mark Helfrich and Brady Hoke coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers? I thought I was watching the Oregon Ducks. Crappy defense and going for two every time and not getting it. Why would you go for two all the time? You ended up chasing points the whole damn game. Tomlin's another one. He looks cool. He's got a swagger. He's not a horrible coach. He just does stupid things. Ben Roethlisberger threw for over 400 yards. I think 408. Pittsburgh Steelers, it's the third time they gave up over 420 yards this year. And 420 is a key number because I got to smoke a hell of a lot of weed to forget the Pittsburgh Steelers ruining my Sunday. Who ruined yours? Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. As you can tell, we're live because nobody else would nearly have a heart attack on here. It might actually happen, man. I'm like Fred Sanford. I'm coming, Elizabeth. I'm coming. It's the big one. It's going to happen. Like, I don't have any hair, but I noticed. I didn't shave over the weekend. And yesterday, man, I was grayer than Negan. Like, you know, like my beard's just all white and stuff. And I'm thinking this is all because of, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Carolina Panthers, and NFL football, college football. Like, I got to start only betting props. I got to shake something up a little bit because I'm really getting angry. I lost a lot of money yesterday, and I'm really, really unhappy about it. And I got screwed in every which possible way in, like, different games. You know, even that, like, Saint game, man. Like, how come you guys have to return the damn kick for the missed point for two? Why couldn't you just step out of bounds and send the game to overtime? You know, like I said, I got the over in the Eagles game. You guys going up and down the field, both of you jackasses, kicking field goals all day. Never ends. All right, so we asked you guys to submit your videos. Who ruined your Sunday? I probably should have tweeted this out earlier. We had a couple of them, but we got one to start off with before we get to Steve Merrill. Let's see what the viewers. How'd you guys get screwed yesterday?
Hey guys, it's Doug Rush from the Inscribed Digital Magazine. Do a little fantasy football here. Who ruined your Sunday? Well, I could list a couple teams. I could list the Atlanta Falcons for not taking care of business against the Philadelphia Eagles, but they were on the road, so I'm going to give them a pass. I could say the Minnesota Vikings for not taking care of business against the Washington Redskins on the road. They got 6,000 injuries on that team. I'm going to give them a pass. The team I'm not giving it pass to is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had the lead with 40-something seconds to go. They took the lead on the fake spike, Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown. 40 seconds to go in the game, they should have this wrapped up. And that defense did everything possible to blow that game against the Dallas Cowboys. As a Giant fan, we really need the Steelers to beat the Cowboys so we can get within a game of the division. And the Steelers couldn't get it done. A face mask penalty, the big run by Ezekiel Elliott. Pittsburgh Steelers, you guys definitely ruined my Sunday, big time.
Yeah. How stupid was that face mask penalty on Witten? You got four guys on him. Like, where's he going? It was like a rugby scrum. Yeah, let me just rip the guy's face mask. And, you know, in the old days, I'll ask Paul Horning. We didn't even call that crap. You know, so yeah, Paul Horning's going to join us in a couple of minutes. We'll find out his takes on the Packers and Notre Dame football. Legend of both the Irish, Joseph Lisi's going to join us. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now and find out who ruined Steve Merrill's Sunday. Sounds like the Pittsburgh Steelers are the theme of the week so far.
Yeah, Pittsburgh did not help me yesterday. Would have been a 2-1 afternoon. And I've always said that there's hardly ever a time where you should go for two in the first half. And yesterday is a textbook example of that, because what happens is there's plenty of scoring to come. You don't know how, you know, the scoring is going to play out. So you need every point possible. And you start going for two and missing it early in the game, then you're chasing, and they ended up going 0-for-4 from two-point conversions. They would have been up by 4 or 5 points. They don't give up that long touchdown run at the end because they wouldn't have stacked the line of scrimmage because they would have been up by more than a field goal. The only thing I can say, though, Gabe, with the new extra point rule, it basically is a 50-50 long-term return on expectation, because you do miss more of those kicks. You get more of them blocked like we saw in the Saints game. So for that reason, you could justify actually going for two every time. But still, old school philosophy, it never would have been the right move.
I'm not a fan of the long extra point, man. Life is hard enough as it is. Betting on football is hard enough as it is. Why do they got to screw us right now with, like, oh, now you got to kick a 37-yard extra point? I hate it.
I actually like it. Most people say they don't like it. I'm actually in the minority, I guess, because I think it's a good rule, because the extra point was basically a meaningless part of the game before. So why not just give them the point when they're going to make it 99% of the time? And what I do like about it now is if you really run the numbers, it's almost your long-term return going for two is like 47% versus 94% on one, because they miss it more now. So I think it brings a lot more elements to the game. You could actually make an argument you could go for two every time and come out basically even in the long run.
I would agree with that as well. And if you're going to do it, you do it all the time. Like you consistently do it all the time. If you're wondering about the alarm, there's like, I don't know, there's either a fire or a fire alarm test or something going on here, Steve.
I thought that was your pacemaker.
Yeah. Yes.
So, but it was happening.
Speaking of which, this Bengals Giants game's got heart attack written all over it. Yeah. I can't resist, but I recently saw that the song "Who Let the Dogs Out?" Who was recently voted the worst song of all time. So I got to ask you, who let the dogs out? The dogs were 8-5 this week, and 9-4 against the spread.
Yeah, my vote might have gone to "Don't Worry, Be Happy." So they both are very
that
relevant.
That song probably sucked too.
I know. So
that Macarena song relevant. Was pretty bad. That's a pretty annoying one.
And they all have betting. You know, we talked about that years ago. All these songs you can make betting references out of, and I think most of those actually are fitting. Yeah, the Bengals too. They're favored slightly in this game. Keep in mind they were a road favorite at Dallas just a month ago. Boy, was that a gift in hindsight. I wish I'd been all over the Cowboys in that game.
What's the deal with this number, man? I saw a pick 'em right before we start. Now the Giants are plus one. How are the Giants getting like no respect at all against the Bengals? They're 5-3. They don't have any like huge major injuries or anything like that. Dear God, man. Just like shut up. Like the alarm works. Figure it out. So they don't have any big injuries or anything like that. 3 points for home field, Steve. Giants not getting a lot of love here.
No, and then Cincinnati's been an overrated team all season. They're like 2-7 against the spread. You know, like I said, they were favored at Dallas a month ago. Dallas is now the second best team in the NFL. I mean, it's really not debatable.
I was on the Bengals in that game. Thanks for bringing it up, Steve.
And Redskins, they were favored at London in that game. Should have lost. They got the tie.
Yeah, I was on them in that game, too.
Well, so see, you're the one that's driving the betting market. You're not the only one, Gabe, because obviously other people feel the same way because they keep making them favorite in these games.
I know. That's why tonight I'm on the Giants. Screw the Giants Andy Dalton, man. I'm done with them. I'm done with the Bengals, Steve.
And the Giants have quietly gone 3-0 straight up in ATS
this? You're right, though. The Bengals and the Bills are two teams, and they're funny they're playing each other this week after. The Bills and the Bengals, no matter the Bills, like the Bills team bus could get on an accident on the way to the stadium. They lose everybody. They're already a piece of crap organization. Yet, they're 4-point favorites. The betting market loves the Bills this week. The Bills and the Bengals every week.
You know what jumps out to me about the Giants? So look at the rushing yards. The last 3 weeks, Cincinnati's had 120, 271, and 152 rushing yards. The Giants have had less than that in all three games combined. The Bengals have rushed for more in each game than the Giants have for the total of their last three games. Yet the Bengals are 1-2 against the spread, 1-1-1 straight up, and the Giants are 3-0 during that span. So it really makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, because Andy Dalton turns the ball over in the red zone once they get down there. You know, Steve, I'm focusing in on the quarterback props tonight because, as you stated, the Giants won't even attempt to run the football. No. No. They're running for 62 yards a game. That's where they do have injuries. Perkins, actually, I stream Perkins. I was in a spot, so I got Perkins on one of my teams tonight, kid out of UCLA. And they're both pretty bad against the pass. Giants 27th ranked pass D. Bengals are getting carved up in the air. We saw Kirk Cousins, Garcia, and everyone go and Reed go up and down the field on them. I think it's another aerial attack tonight, Steve.
Yeah, Giants have run for 38, 36, and 54 in their last three games. They've won all three of them. I'm not sure that's ever happened in recent history in the NFL. I mean, just having the lead in a game, you can get more than 36 rushing yards total. So, yeah, it's hard not to look at those quarterback props for both teams. The only thing I will say is Cincinnati can run the ball. I guess that could be the difference here. But the Giants, even going 3-0, they've had absolutely no running game, which is really unheard of in football.
Bengals score 20.9 points per game. They give up 23.6. Giants score 20.1 per game. They give up 20.5. They both actually give up more than they score. They both score 20 points a game. I think teaser's coming to play tonight, Steve. You know, tease either team to the over. This game's going to be a close football game.
Well, and shop around because right now the line is pick 'em. Some spots, like you said, have the Bengals minus one. I've even seen a couple spots with the Giants minus one. So you do a 7-point teaser and you take the plus one either way, you're getting them up over a touchdown.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a big fan of the 7-point tease. You get the Giants plus eight on their home field, tease to the over 39 right. and a half. How can it lose, Steve?
Oh, it could lose.
I know. Yesterday I played a 10-point.
You can go 0-4 on 2-point conversions. It could lose that way. You could have your extra point block.
I know.
In a tie game late, it could lose that way.
Yesterday I played a 3-team 10-point teaser. They're all sucker bets too, Steve, right? So I'm like, all right, this is going to be good. I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, plus 7.5 over in the Pittsburgh game, over 39.5. And I had the Green Bay Packers, plus 7. The Packers can lose by 7. No, thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened to Green Bay? And I still think Seattle's a phony team, even though they won that game last night.
I was on Seattle last night, but it was too late. I got my ass handed to me too much earlier in the day.
But you just look at, like, Seattle gets Buffalo 6 days earlier. I mean, they look terrible in that Monday night game. They shouldn't even have won that game. I'll tell you what a play against spot this week. They off the Monday night game, which they get outplayed. They have to travel cross-country on a short week, play a Sunday nighter, huge, you know, game for them against New England, the team that beat them in the Super Bowl. And now, you know, they have to play again this week. You look at Seattle, they can't have much left in the tank here the next couple weeks.
Let's talk some NBA and quickly some college ball and maybe some NASCAR if we got some time on the way out here. So let's go rapid fire. Speaking of line movement, man, a couple hours ago, the Pistons were 3-point favorites. Now I see Oklahoma City are favored by 1.5. I didn't see any major injuries with the Pistons. What's up with this line move?
Yeah, the one thing I did see was the center is doubtful for Detroit still, Drummond, so he might not be there. That's about the only thing I've seen in this game one way or the other.
So he's doubtful now? Because he's
doubtful.
He's doubtful now. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason.
He was upgraded to probable. Well, doubtful probably. He was supposed to play. Now, so I was wondering about that. We're going to have to scratch that because Drummond and the rebounds, that's the key to that team.
Yeah, and it is. And you just never know in the NBA either. These guys could all of a sudden at 6:55 Eastern appear in the starting lineup, you know.
But, I know.
But you're right. When in doubt, leave it out. That's what I always say. And, you know, I just think with Drummond now doubtful, he probably won't play. And if he does play, he obviously isn't fully healthy.
You know, because the Pistons are 4-0 at home and they've won all four games by double digits at home. They're a real good home team. I like them tonight. But with Drummond, we're going to have to scratch. Guys in the booth, scratch. Scratch it. All right, William and Mary, you had an up-close scouting report the other day,
oh, yeah.
Steve. You took them in. You're alum. You took in William and Mary and who was it, Bridgewater?
Yeah, Bridgewater, a bad Division III team, was picked to finish 10th in their own conference at the Division III level. So let's not read too much into the blowout win. But I did want to scout William and Mary because they've got two highly touted freshmen this year, two of their better freshman prospects they've had in quite a while. One of them is a 6'10" kid from Syracuse, from the city of Syracuse. The other one is a 6'6 swing guard who played a lot, Pierce, Knight and Pierce. But now they're making their first road trip of the season, though. So, you know, you can't expect too much from young freshmen. But I do think William & Mary could be a pretty decent team this year. They only really lost one important player from last year. Louisville, meanwhile, is a team that's in turmoil, as you know. A lot of sanctions, a lot of young players on this team as well. So William & Mary, catching them maybe at the right time, getting 17. But the Tribe wanted to play that game on Friday night last week, but there was a volleyball game at home. So they had to play Saturday against Bridgewater. That's why it was a 2 o'clock Eastern start instead of a night game. So they didn't have much travel time, didn't have much turnaround time. And the starters played well into the second half. So fatigue could be a little bit of an issue tonight.
Yeah, it's just not enough points for me. I was tempted by William & Mary, and I knew you'd have some good insight, as always, on them. But just not enough, even with a turnover. You got to like Rick Pitino, and I know you got mad. You must hate Mike Evans now, Steve. Yeah, have you heard? Mike Evans, you don't like Kaepernick. Mike Evans, first time he took a knee during the anthem yesterday to protest Trump specifically.
Yeah.
And Rick Pitino's bitching about Trump, saying Trump's a disgrace. I read people saying, you know, you were sleeping with hookers in your office, Pitino. Like, what are you talking about disgraces for?
Yeah, I would have thought Trump would. I mean, Pitino would have been a Trump guy, but then I guess he's kind of that Northeast liberal type. He was at Providence for a while in the Knicks, so I guess I could see that as well.
Northeast liberals. All right, we got 2 minutes, Steve. So let's rapid fire. Villanova and Purdue. I'm taking the dog here. I'm taking the home team. It's up to +3 right now. Champions on the road. Monster game for the Boilermakers tonight.
Yeah, you're right. The line is higher. The money's been coming in on Villanova, but I don't read too much into that. Obviously, they're going to get some public love. You know, Villanova's that team that always underachieved in the tournament every year. We talked about it last year. You know, they always look good coming in, and they always go out in the first or second round. So I stayed off them last year, and of course, they go all the way. In none of the brackets did I really take them that deep. You just get a feeling that maybe they regress this year, and Purdue's a very difficult game on the road to start here, you know, early in the season.
Yeah, that's right. They got Chris Dunn's playing in the NBA right now. All right, San Diego State and Gonzaga, it's 9.5, total 138. Any interest there?
Yeah, San Diego didn't look very good in their first game, as you know, Gabe. You know, barely won ball in like 10 or so. Gonzaga always strong at home. Early season, when teams struggle early on, they don't just flip a switch a couple days later and fix the problems with young 18- and 19-year-old players. So I'd be a little hesitant with San Diego right now until we see them play better.
Yeah, they just can't score. All right, we got 1 minute here, Steve. So Joey Logano wins Phoenix. Kevin Harvick does not. Harvick finishes fourth. He's out. Wasn't good enough for him. So we got Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, and Kyle Busch racing at Homestead for the championship.
And it's wide open. I mean, since we've had this format the last 3 years, the last 2 years we've had this format, the guy that won the championship had to win the race at Homestead the last 2 years. That's how tight it's been. So from a fantasy perspective and a betting perspective, all four of those guys you have to look at. And it makes a lot of sense. The other drivers are not going to get in the way this week. You know, if there's ever a week they're going to be respectful for the four guys, it's this week. That gives them a little bit of an easier pass to the front. And we've seen that the last couple of years, basically running top five almost all the drivers that are in the final four.
Yeah, you imagine if Matt Kenseth just like wiped out Logano again. Like,
or Kyle Busch, who wrecked him yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Or Kyle Busch.
Yeah, he might be going after Alex Bowman, actually. Yeah, I saw that replay, it really wasn't anyone's fault but Kenseth. He came down on him too early.
That's one of the owners in the garage are talking to the drivers. All right, guys, you got to wait till next year. There's too much money at stake here. We'll break it down on Friday. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. Take a quick break. We got the Hall of Famer, Paul Hornung, joining us next. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network, and it's our honor to welcome a man who we wouldn't have enough time to go over all this man's accomplishments, but Heisman Trophy winner, four-time NFL champion, was on the Packers in Super Bowl I, College Football Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, known as the Golden Boy, and a man who played hard and partied pretty hard as well. The one and only Mr. Paul Hornung joins us.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for taking the time to be with us, sir. How you doing today?
Good to be with you.
You know what? I got first things first out of the gate here. We'll start off on a lighter moment. Can you tell us the story about Vince Lombardi telling the guys, if you guys go out and break curfew, I'm going to hit you with a $500 fine. You do it again, it's going to be $1,000.
That was just for starters.
Yeah. So he said it would be $5,000 and $10,000. He said, when it gets that high, if you guys go, bring me, because it must be the best damn party ever. Is that a true story?
Yeah, he said that. He had a great sense of humor. And, of course, it really wasn't funny to Max McGee and I, because he always knew where we were, because everybody in town, if they saw us out, they'd call Lombardi the next day and say, "I saw Hornung and McGee," So we couldn't fool him.
What did he say to you when he asked you, you want to be a football player or a playboy? You said a playboy. What did he say to you?
Yeah, I didn't say that, but he didn't like that. I thought it was kind of funny, but he didn't.
How would Coach Lombardi fit in today's National Football League?
He'd be on top, but he's the best coach that's ever coached in there, as far as I'm concerned. And nobody's ever matched his record,
Is Bill Belichick, you think, the closest to Vince Lombardi and his personality or the way he goes about his
business? I would have to say so. He's the most successful. And Coach Lombardi was the most successful during his day.
What do you say to Packer fans that are starting to put some pressure on Coach McCarthy right now?
Well, that comes with not winning. And that's not only at Green Bay, that's all over the league. If you're coaching a team and you don't have a winning record, you don't make the playoffs, after a couple of years, the people get tired of that, and it's almost time to go, So, the coach of the Packers, he better start winning or he's going to be looking for a job.
Yeah, when you watch the Packers, obviously they can't stop anybody, but Brett Favre said there's a lack of intensity with the players. Aaron Rodgers said the same thing. They had a ton of energy yesterday, Paul, but it's almost like they were trying too hard. It just seems like things just aren't falling into place for them.
I don't know. All that kind of publicity, I've always been on the side, is I don't like to get involved in all that, because that's all private and it's probably wrong as far as the press is concerned and getting it to the public. Because, those kids are trying to play as well as they can. It's just that, they're just not putting it together. And they're lacking in certain areas of the game. They're lacking. There's no question about that. And they better just straighten it out. If they don't, there's going to be some changes made.
What do you think about the current state of the National Football League? There's been a lot of people saying,
it's always been fantastic. They've done a great job promoting that league and the players and the publicity from the league. And, they got the number one sport as far as the fans are concerned. Pro football's at the top.
Now, one of the reasons that football is so popular, or at least an element of popularity right now, is fantasy football. Could you imagine when, you're running the ball in the 60s, that people in the year 2016 are going to be, winning and losing millions of dollars in fantasy, it's in fantasy right now.
Well, I don't know how that works.
I tell you, you'd be a very good fantasy player, Paul. That's how I tell you how it works.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because you kick field goals, you're scoring touchdowns. You still have the record for most points in a season right now.
Right, I think I do. I'm not sure, but I think you're right.
How much pressure? Did you feel pressure kicking field goals? Seems like the kicker's so isolated.
I enjoyed it. I always remember once Jerry Kramer was on the sidelines, and they had just scored, whoever we were playing had just scored a touchdown. So he told Coach, he said, if we make a fair catch off this kickoff, we could put the ball in play with the field goal. And Coach Lombardi never heard of that, or nobody on the team did, but Jerry was reading the rule book the night before the game. So I forget who we were playing. They kicked off, and we ran the ball back to about the 40-yard line of the other team, So now we got the opportunity to put the ball in play. We only had about 5 seconds left in the half. And Jerry said, we can go for a free kick. Well, Vince didn't know what he was talking about, but he was right. So I'm going to do the kicking. So they come on and says, it's going to be a free kick. I didn't even know what the hell a free kick was. I'd never seen one. Nobody ever talked about one. So anyway, I got the ball in about the, 45-yard line. And all you did is you put it down, and Bart was the holder, and he put the ball down, and nobody rushed me kicking. And I took 2 steps, and I kicked a 53-yard field goal. And it was a free kick, so it was the first free kick probably in our day. Nobody had ever done that. I didn't even know what the hell I was doing. But we got 3 points out of it, so thank goodness Jerry read the rule book the night before the game, so he had been reading about that free kick. And we did it the next day. It was very unusual.
What about the coach of the other team and the refs? Did they know what was going on?
They didn't know what the hell we were doing. They didn't, I'm sure.
And
Vince didn't know either.
That's when you know you're crafty. When you know something about football.
Yeah, as long as you made the 3 points, that's all he was cared about.
There's a lot of things you did first, though. I'm looking at almost everything, and you did it first. And I was looking, that you won a car, and they're like, no, you can't take a car. Now everybody wins cars, right? MVPs, cars, like.
Well, and I tell you, I was in the service. See, I was. President Kennedy got me out of the service in Fort Raleigh, Kansas, and got me a pass to play in the championship game because Vince had his phone number. And I called him and I said, I can't play in the championship game. And he said, what do you mean you can't play? You can come back here. Didn't you take your Christmas vacation? I said, yeah, but they wouldn't let me take it at that time. So I'm stuck here in Fort Raleigh, Kansas. He said, you just be ready to go. He used to always get this friend of mine up in Green Bay to pick me up for the games and fly me from Fort Raleigh, Kansas into Green Bay or wherever in the hell we played. And I'd play, and then he'd fly me back to Fort Raleigh, Kansas. So this was that season. Now we're in a championship game. He calls President Kennedy, Vince, because he had his phone number. And he called Fort Raleigh, Kansas, and got me a weekend pass. When the President of the United States calls you, they're going to give you a weekend pass.
Yeah, I guess. I guess so.
So that's how touched, that coach was with having the right things in line and to get things done. To have President Kennedy's private number in his wallet, it was unbelievable. But he got me out. They flew me in on a private plane. I played in the championship game. In fact, I won the most valuable player of the championship game. I had to go to New York. I was at Fort Raleigh, Kansas now. I went to New York to pick up the car. It was a Chevrolet convertible or a Ford convertible, one of the two. And I drove it back all the way to Fort Raleigh, Kansas. So I had a car there.
That's awesome. Before we let you go, sir, I wanted to ask you on a more serious note. You filed a lawsuit against Rydell, the helmet maker.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going. I talked to one of the attorneys about a couple weeks ago, and he's very up on it. He was energetic, and he said, I think we're going to do okay, but I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be some law come down and go back and probably take care of some of the kids that had problems. I did have a couple of concussions from those helmets, you know, all those years I played. Anybody who played 10 years probably had a problem with that during those days. I'm just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, you guys weren't diagnosed for concussions, though, at the time. I imagine you had numerous ones.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they would diagnose you. If you get popped in the head, you know, and you go unconscious, they know what the hell's wrong.
Yeah, not to mention the damage you did out at the bar, too. I've got a couple of those concussions myself, Paul. Hey, sir, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Am I talking to Toronto?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I used to have a good time in Toronto. It was a great city.
You know, speaking of drop kicks, I can't help. That's what I was thinking about. Doug Flutie and the CFL, and you know, you get a point for booting it through the end zone in Canada.
Yeah, let me tell you a cute story. I'm in Indianapolis at a dinner, and Gordie Howe's there. He and I are the speakers, and we're sitting at the hotel bar restaurant, and in walks Wayne Gretzky. And he came over to the table. I don't even know if Wayne had met. He hadn't met me, and I don't know if he's ever met Gordie Howe. You know, Gordie's sitting there, and he had a sense of humor that was unusual, of course. He was very critical, and he said to me, boy, he's a little guy. I said, well, he may be a little guy, but they say he's pretty good. He's one of the greatest of all time, but in Gordie Howe's way of looking at something, if you weren't manly enough to look mean, you know, I think that took something away from his feelings.
Man, Gordie Howe is as tough as they come. Like, you know, playing in the National Hockey League at 53 years old. Quickly on the way out here, you bring this up, because I spoke to Coach Ditka about this, and he actually remembered. I asked him, I said, Coach, the Chicago Bears played the Montreal Alouettes in 1961. And he said, yeah, I remember it, man. It was in my rookie year, and I remember going to Montreal. And, you know, the NFL teams played the CFL teams, but did the Packers ever play anyone in the CFL at the time?
No, we never did.
You did? They didn't, huh?
No, we never did, no.
That's too bad, you know, because it was...
Yeah, that would have been great.
Sir, man, that's a great story about... Wayne Gretzky turned out to be pretty good after all, huh?
Right. Well... And later on, we were lucky enough, Frank Gifford and I, we were doing Janssen commercials. And along comes Bobby Hull.
Oh, God.
So we got to know Bobby very well. Bobby was with us for about 3 years, shooting commercials for Janssen. And Gifford and I were always with Janssen for about 15 years. In fact, we went to Rio de Janeiro and Bobby went along, so... I got to know Bobby Hull pretty good.
I imagine the bartenders got pretty rich.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to be with us, sir. I look forward to doing it again.
Have a good time up there.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Paul. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Great, great place, Toronto. Talk to you later.
There's Paul Horning with us. All right. Great. Hey, man, these great stories. Imagine Gordie Howe, Wayne Gretzky, and Paul Horning walk into a bar. All right. We take a quick break. Joe Lisi joins us next. Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Great stories with the legendary Paul Horning on the show. You know, for the cameraman, Dumb and Dumber. On you know, these guys don't know anybody. Like, these guys have never heard of Rocket Ishmael, let alone Paul Horning. Camera one, Rocket Ishmael. You know what Rocket Ishmael is? We got a thumbs up there. No, I have a Colts, he says. Colts. Like, Rocket Ishmael is like the least associated with the Colts ever. Like, that's like saying, you ever heard of Mike Piazza? Oh, the guy that was on the Marlins for a couple of days? Like, Rocket Ishmael, Colts.
The Rocket.
Let's bring in Joe Lisi right now. And speaking of Dumb and Dumber, it's the Colts and the Titans again this week. Maybe I'll listen to them. They were right, I was wrong. All right, listen to them this week. All right, what's going on, Joe? How you doing?
Trying to recover, Gabe, from an unbelievable weekend of college football, but nothing better. Love the show.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a little pissed off. I didn't ride the wave with, you know, once Clemson beat Pitt, I had a feeling. I was like, man, I bet you Washington are going to lose now. But I already picked Washington. And so I was like, and then after that, I knew Michigan was toast. Like, I just did. You know, that, what a crazy way to go. You know, Clemson loses to Pittsburgh. USC beats Washington. Then Iowa beats Michigan. We would say it was complete chaos, but, you know, two of these three teams were pretty much locked in so much further and ranked so much higher than everyone else. Like, this didn't really affect Michigan at all. Like, if anything, it could be a wake-up call for them. We'll see how the kids handle it, the loss and the adversity now. But it's very simple for Michigan. They beat Ohio State. They go to the Big Ten championship game. They win that game. They're in the playoffs. And for the record right now, guys, the AP poll and the coaches poll are both out right now, and they're both the same. Alabama, number one. Ohio State, number two. Louisville, number three. Michigan, four. Clemson, five. So to me, Ohio State and Michigan are still in the control of their own destiny. But Penn State's a real wild card in this, because Penn State would win the tiebreaker and play in the Big Ten championship game over Ohio State, even if Ohio State beat Michigan. If Penn State win out, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next couple of weeks trying to figure this out, Joe.
It is. It's unbelievable the way this weekend worked out, where number two, number three, and number four all lost for the first time since 1985. But that's what makes this great game so special. I mean, we still don't know at the end of the year who the four teams might be, because you have a team like Wisconsin that's still in the mix. You have Clemson that will probably most likely go to the ACC championship game, and the committee has said that conference champions hold weight. So we have to see how it plays out, Gabe, but I'm really chomping at the bit for the next 3 weeks of the college football season.
Yeah, to me, the one team that got hurt the most of this, like, Clemson's going to get a little bit of benefit of the doubt. They were in the championship game last year. You know, they lose one game, you know, if they can win the ACC. But, you know, they were lucky. You know, they were living dangerously, and, you know, NC State missed the field goal. But it seems to me Washington, Joe, they're the ones that got hurt the most in this, I feel. They were already sort of suspect. You know, the committee doesn't think much of the Pac-12 to begin with. I think Washington's on the outside looking in now more than any of these other teams are. And obviously Louisville gets into the conversation here. But, you know, I don't like it that Louisville could be ranked ahead of Clemson when Clemson beat Louisville. But it's too early to start bitching. And I told people this last week, Joe, and then the week before when A&M were ranked. I said, guys, it doesn't matter. Last year, only one team out of the four ended up playing. Like you said, man, Wisconsin wins the Big Ten, they're going to end up in the playoffs. And there's a lot of crazy stuff that could still happen.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and a team that I keep my eye out on that has two losses that could possibly really spoil it for everybody. How about Washington State? I mean, they play Colorado this week on the road and then follow that up with the Apple Cup against Washington. Yep. If Washington State wins and then wins the Pac-12 championship, I mean, they started their year with two losses, but if they were able to run the table 11 straight wins, what about Washington State as possibly one of the top four teams in the country, Gabe? I mean, it's unreal how this season might play out.
Well, and, you know, it's funny. I feel like let's take a long shot that we'll bet on Washington State playing Penn State in the Final Four. And it's insane. I swear, 4 weeks ago, people wanted Franklin's head on a platter. They were getting pasted. You know, Michigan, teams were beating them up. Now here they are. They're winning football games. And as crazy as it is, they, you know, who are they playing? They play Rutgers and Michigan State, I believe. They win those two games, and they end up with one conference loss, and Ohio State, even if Ohio State beats Michigan, they go to the Big Ten championship game and then probably play Wisconsin, as crazy as that is. And then you'd have the winner of Penn State-Wisconsin, because don't tell me that the Big Ten winner, conference championship winner, isn't going to be in the Final Four. It's a lock. They're going to be, Joe, no matter who it is.
Oh, I agree with you. I think whoever wins the Big Ten will be there. And I think we've seen that how after Texas A&M lost to Mississippi State, they went from number 4 to number 8. So I wouldn't expect either Ohio State or Michigan to drop very far after any losses this year the rest of the way just because of what we saw from Texas A&M earlier in the year. So we have to see how it plays out, Gabe. But conference champions do matter to the committee. And the one conference on the outside looking in is the Big 12. Forget it. There's no way, shape, or form the Oklahoma Sooners are even mentioned in the mix at this point, in my opinion.
I agree with you. They're done. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, the Pac-12 might get a spot. You never know. They might go with two Big Ten teams. They could go with two SEC teams. Well, they wouldn't go with two SEC teams at this point because Florida lost. But, you know, they could go with two of anything. All right, we got to get out of here, Joe. But it's too bad. Like, if those of you pulling that Louisville lose at Houston, you know, Greg Ward could be out. Postma could be out. And it would leave True Frosh, De'Eric King, getting the call against Louisville. Houston could be in a tough spot Thursday.
Yeah, they can. I mean, Greg Ward is out. I mean, we have to see how that plays out. Louisville will probably.
All right, let's do this thing. Although, don't you get the feeling that we have a Who Ruined Your Monday coming? But let's start off. We're going to take the New York Giants. Man, there's been line movement. Money's been coming in on the Bengals all day. You might be able to get like a plus one or so. But we're going to take a shot with the Giants. I do think there's going to be points put on the board in this football game. I like the over of this game. I think you could tease either the Giants up to plus 8 or the Bengals to plus 7 or whatever it's going to end up being, whatever your book is, and you'd be pretty comfortable to the over. Should be like a 3 or 4 point game, higher scoring. All right, so that's what we're doing though with that, man. Giants in the over and a teaser in the over. These two teams don't really run the ball that much, or at least the Giants don't. I expected it to be an aerial attack. Let's go with Andy Dalton, over 271.5 yards. He's actually thrown over this number 5 times this year. Andy Dalton, over 1.5 passing touchdowns. That's going to be grief. Jeremy Hill will score a touchdown. He'll score touchdowns the last two games. It's a plus money. Let's go for it. Eli Manning, over 1.5 passing touchdowns as well. I'm surprised the sacks, a little low here, only 3.5. Giants can't get to the quarterback, but 3.5 sacks is too low. And we'll wrap it up with the Purdue Boilermakers. I was going to take the Pistons tonight if Drummond plays, but he isn't going to. So let's take Purdue. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.